Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Adventure. My name is Jeff, and I hope you didn't mind that clip. I happen to be a Spider-Man fan from way back, and that clip, for me, just really, I don't know, it rings true to my life in so many ways. Not that I can shoot webs and things like that, but it's a great story, isn't it? How many of you guys have seen that movie? Anybody seen the movie? Woohoo! So we have a few fans here. Well, for those of you who aren't into Spider-Man, don't worry, we're not going to be talking about Spider-Man today. But we'd like to start out by talking about story. We all have a story, right? We have a past, and we have a story that's coming. And the thing that really resonates for me with watching the Spider-Man clip is just that he's becoming something. He's not quite sure why he's becoming what he's becoming, but a lot of it has to do with what's happened in the past for him, and he's trying to discover what that is. So this morning, I would like us to talk about our stories and kind of start in the context of story, and then move from there into some other really cool things, community, worship, some other stuff. And for those of you who might not know me, I'm actually one of the leaders here at Adventure. I try to hide behind people as much as possible back here. I'm involved in the worship ministry, and they don't often let me come out and speak. But Randy is on vacation. He's gone for a few weeks, and so what happens in Adventure stays in Adventure, right? We don't have to tell them that they let the worship guy speak. And I hope I don't say anything too embarrassing. So I'm not used to this thing. I guess there's a right clicky, left clicky. Let me try this. How's that? Oh, look at that. That's cool. So that goes forward, backward, and there's a little laser pointer. Okay. Sweet. Okay. So let me get my glasses on here. So have you guys had a chance to take a look around this morning and say hi to folks that you may not know, that sort of thing? I was gone at the beginning of worship. I'm not sure whether that happened. Do we have any visitors here today? Anybody here for the first time? Okay, a couple times. Okay. So you're all family, or at least familiar with Adventure. That's good. So before we get started, I would like to make sure that you all have something to write on and something to write with handy. And if any of you need some paper, maybe if you just slip your hand up, one of the ushers could bring some paper up for you. This is going to be a very participatory time. I'm going to be asking you just to kind of move through this message with me and hopefully take some notes. So while the paper's being handed out, let's start by talking about story and about secrets. Peter Parker in the Spider-Man clip, he didn't really know who he really was. He didn't know why he was becoming what he was becoming. And a lot of the interest for me in the story of Spider-Man is just him discovering his true identity, discovering what he was made for and what he's capable of doing and becoming. And we all have a story like that. Every one of you have lived a number of years, and in those number of years, things have happened, right? And in many ways, our lives are like a book. And I'm guessing that each one of you could tell some pretty interesting, amazing stories to the rest of us about what's happened in your lives. And the things that have happened to you in your backstory, they shape and kind of define how you might react to the story that's unfolding in front of you. Let's see. I can almost read that thing. And would like to give you just a moment to reflect on your own story as we start out this morning, because I think that our story really sets the context for what is to come and how we respond to that. So what is your backstory? I mean, what sorts of conclusions have you reached based on what's happened to you in life? And you can just kind of think about these things and maybe make a couple notes as we go through, because we're going to be coming back to this stuff. Some examples of conclusions that some of us may have reached is that we're basically alone in this world, or people can't be trusted with my real heart, or maybe the world is my playground and I'm in charge and I'm large. That's not me, but it might be some of you. Just to give you a bit of my backstory, might help you understand why I'm saying the things I'm saying here. I started life thinking back to my earliest memories, I was a bit afraid. Things seemed scary to me as a young kid. There were things that hurt that happened to me. I had no control over those things. And so I just kind of grew up being afraid of stuff. And I know my dad didn't get me. He didn't get why I was afraid of stuff, and so he was frustrated about that. I was a kid out in center field playing Little League who couldn't see the ball coming at him because he needed glasses, and his parents didn't know he needed glasses, so I couldn't catch the ball, and it would like hit me in the head kind of things. But then as I got older, got into high school, I discovered music, and I discovered girls. And I discovered that girls like music. So there's kind of some motivation there to learn music. So I started a rock band, and that was going pretty well for me in high school. And shortly thereafter, I became a Christian, accepted Christ, and that began a journey for me of healing and life transformation, which is continuing today. So how about you guys? What's your story? And the reason that we're starting with a discussion of stories is because God has a story that's unfolding as well. And we've talked about that a lot at Adventure. We've talked about the large story. We've called it that, which is basically God's story that involves redeeming us, bringing us back to Him. And there's a section of Scripture in Ezekiel that we've read often, which gives a snapshot of a piece of God's story for us, the fact that He's restoring us or wanting to restore us. Anybody recall that story? The section in Ezekiel? Where there's, kind of help me here, there's like dry bones, right? And then what happens? Ezekiel, he's seeing this vision of things happening out in this big valley. You've got the dry bones, and then they start coming together, and then flesh and sinews start growing onto these bones, and these bones become people, and the people, they're standing there in the field, but there's no life in them, right? And what happens after that? The breath, God's breath, blows life into the people in the field, and they become a vast army, right? So does that story apply to us at all? To you and I? I mean, in some ways I feel like I'm the flesh and bone guy standing in the field with life, waiting for life to be blown into me so I can have that life to the full. Now, if you read, what's interesting is that the scripture following that section of Ezekiel adds a bit more to that story, and I wanted to read that to you. I'm not sure if that's ever been read here in church, but or if you've read that yourself. But it's really interesting how that vision ties into what we're going through today, and I'm going to read through that, and then we'll talk about some points there. So in Ezekiel 37, verses 11 through 14, can we see that? Yeah, okay. It says this, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done this, declares the Lord. Isn't that cool? So, I think that story applies not only to the people of Israel back in the day, but to us, God's people, today. It talks about the fact that God wants to put His Spirit into us, wants us to live. Talks about us settling in our own land. What does that mean, settling in your own land? That could mean, it probably means many things, but one thing it means to me is that He's going to establish us in a community, and we're going to become deeply rooted in that community, and that's going to be part of our life. And we've been talking about community this past month here at Adventure. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and that I have done it. How would you react if you knew with a certainty that the Lord God had planted you in your own land, had breathed life into you? How would you react to that? You'd be pretty stoked, right? And if you were in a worship service, you probably wouldn't have to be encouraged to express your feelings to God about this, right? This would probably just be happening spontaneously. I probably couldn't shut you up, in fact. I mean, you'd be babbling on about it, right? So, for me, this phrase, knowing that God has done it, ties directly into worship, because I think that if we recognize what God has done for us, we can't help but react and give love and joy, have love and joy, and to give worship back to God. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit, too. So I think that God's promises, as enumerated in the Bible, do apply to us today. And in what we just read, there are some pretty exciting promises. He promises to open our graves, bring us up from them, put His Spirit in us, promises that we will live, we will settle in our own land, and we'll know that the Lord has done it. Pretty cool stuff. Okay, how many of you have been attending the last few weeks? And this isn't like a test or anything, but Jeff's been talking about community, and I shamelessly stole one of his slides to kind of tie today's message back into what he's been talking about, which has really been some awesome stuff. Thank you, Jeff. So who can tell me what the three roots are in this tree? So we're looking at a tree of life to the full, which Jeff has talked about, and the roots are what? This is a test. Restore. Fill. Deploy. Okay. Awesome. And what's the soil that the roots are kind of embedded in? You guys are good. Come on. There we go. I had to cheat and look at his presentation to know the answers. So we're going to add to this picture today, and I hope Jeff doesn't mind. I didn't see a copyright on this thing. So I thought that any tree that represents life to the full and is rooted in community, people walking in Christ who have been restored, they're filled, they've been deployed. There's got to be fruit on that tree, right? So I'm thinking, where is the fruit? I like fruit, so I thought I'd add some fruit. I hope that's okay. And you notice that there are different kinds of fruit, but one thing all these fruit have in common is that they're good fruit, right? So this tree, our lives rooted in community, produce good fruit. We can't help it. It's just like a reactionary sort of thing. So what are some of the fruits that come out of our life to the full? What have you guys experienced? I heard love, I think. Okay. Peace. Okay. So Since I'm the worship guy, I have to throw worship in here. So what about worship? How does worship fit into this picture? I was kind of, deliberating over just where to fit it in, and I just couldn't fit it into one spot, so I had to put it into two spots. Because for me, worship is something that I do because God deserves it, whether I feel like it or not. But it's also something that just effervesces from my heart at times when I'm filled with joy and filled with the Spirit. So we're going to be talking about both of those kinds of worship here as we move along. So today is all about moving us deeper into His story for us and relating that to the story that God is writing for each of us as we walk through life. So I'd like to, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and take a minute and crack open your journals or your writing paper, and whatever God is basically bringing to mind or stirring up within you, just feel free to write that down so you can maybe we can deal with it later. I put some questions up here that you can consider as well. What are a couple of things that you would like healing and freedom from that have happened to you in the past? Maybe that's a good place to start. Or what are some things that you desire deep in your heart to be part of your story that just haven't quite unfolded yet? Maybe another question would be, what are some of the not so good fruits that are coming off of your tree of life that might be indicating something, some cultivating needs to be done with your tree? So what I'd like to talk about this morning are three keys to getting more life, more of God's life for us. And these aren't the only three keys, but these are just three keys that are kind of on my heart that I wanted to talk about with you guys. Holy Spirit filling, true community, getting more of that, and true and deep worship. So, have you ever experienced a filling of the Holy Spirit? Just some of you probably have. I know that when we accept Christ, when we become a Christian, His Spirit comes and dwells within us and lives within us. That there is a miraculous, I guess, infusion of His Spirit. But my personal experience has borne out the fact that there are levels of maybe awareness or tie into that Spirit or filling of that Spirit that occur. And I think the Bible supports that as well. And you find scripture in the Old Testament that talk about people being filled with the Spirit and doing amazing things. Same in the New Testament. A famous one, I guess, scripture would be in Acts 4, where Peter became filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to a crowd with supernatural authority. And the people were just amazed. The people saw unschooled, unlearned men standing in front of learned religious leaders at the time speaking boldly, and there was really nothing that people could say. I mean, because of the Spirit filling, Peter just blew those people away. Have you ever experienced that? Is that a daily experience for you? Maybe a weekly experience. So the Holy Spirit plays a key role in worship and for me as a Christian as well, and just my daily life, and I'm sure for you guys, right? The Holy Spirit empowers us. He does, He quickens our heart, our minds. I think that when somebody is filled with the Spirit, there's usually a physical or demonstrable evidence that that's happened. The Holy Spirit also cleanses us. And to move into more of the life that God has for us, we have to receive that cleansing. And I can actually read this. So when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. So when we're saved, we get an infusion of the Spirit, and the Spirit cleanses us. But it's also a daily, ongoing thing that at least for me, I need to immerse myself in to stay clean and stay pure. So just a quick check. Think about your own life. Are you filled with the Spirit? Do you have all that there is to receive, or could there possibly be more? So, again, take a few minutes. I'll just keep talking, but if you want to journal on how this might be landing with you, are there fruits of the Spirit or manifestations of the Spirit that you would like to see more of in your own life? And what would those things be? And is there evidence in your life of being Spirit-filled? And what would that be? Do you see your friends, your family, of being filled with the Spirit? The next thing I'd like to chat with you about is true community. And Jeff has unpacked this very well over the last couple of weeks, but I wanted to just highlight a few things. True community, I believe, amplifies the manifestation of what God has for us. And I believe the Bible supports this. The Bible talks about where two or more are gathered, there he is in your midst. And that if we agree as a community on something, that there is power in that agreement. So it would stand to reason that worshiping together, worshiping in community, would bring more power to our lives and open us up to the power that God has for us and the washing of the Holy Spirit. So, what is community like for you guys? Just kind of on a day-in, day-out basis. What do you experience? This is a picture of what my life is like most of the time. I work for Honeywell, which is a large aerospace company. And Honeywell employs about 120,000 people all over the world. And it's extremely difficult to get with a group of those people and do anything because everybody's so busy. So this is a screenshot from my computer. I was trying to set up a meeting with some of my coworkers, and the little blue marks here, these guys, they indicate when people are unavailable. And so, and then you look across the top, you see dates and times here. So basically, over the next few days, nobody had any time to talk with me as a group. And sometimes it feels this way with my home and my family as well. You know, I've got four kids. They're pretty much grown up. And when I'm trying to like have a simple family meeting just to talk about something face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, you know, it feels impossible to get us all together. So this is the community experience that I think a lot of folks live in most of the time. You know, my 40-plus hours at Honeywell are like this. And to be honest with you, I'm feeling kind of alone and isolated much of the time that I'm at work. Same with being home. My wife and I were on vacation last week, came home, I've been trying to get my kids together so we can have a family meeting, and that hasn't worked. And so, I don't know. I think our community could stand to be a bit more cohesive. But the good news is Adventure is doing a lot about community. And Jeff shared a survey last week the results of our survey where the majority, I don't have the numbers at my fingertips, Jeff, but the majority of the folks surveyed felt that they were experiencing satisfactory community. Would you put it that way? It's about two-thirds? Okay. So that means you've got one-third who are not, right, which is kind of the downside. A while ago, we did kind of an informal poll of some of the leaders here at Adventure. And the leaders are the folks who are like heading up ministries and just trying to get things done for God. And when we asked those folks whether they felt part of the inner circle, are you guys familiar with what the inner circle is? That's like the mythical clique that the cool people are part of, but you know, most of us really aren't. But the funny thing was, nobody at the time felt like they were part of the inner circle. None of the leaders did that we asked. So I'm not sure where this inner circle is, but you know, I'm obviously not part of it. But God places a high value on community. In fact, we're basically commanded to fellowship and have community. And it's something we need to fight for, right? I mean, we've got to push for it. It doesn't just happen by itself most of the time. And, you know, God feels so strongly about community that he's telling us that we need to fight for it at times. And as Titus points out, we're commanded to avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, like should we dance, should we smoke, should we drink, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. I didn't say this. This is in the Bible. That's not where my heart goes, but that's what it says. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful and they are self-condemned. And those are really harsh words, right? And that's what God's feeling is toward people who would deliberately come in and divide us and separate us and create division within our family of God. So he wants us to be tight. And he also says that there's power in community. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, I am with them. So there's power there. So what level of intimacy, safety, power, community are we experiencing right now? And do we want more of that? Do we think there is more for us? And what might be keeping us from that? If you could just jot down anything that God brings to mind. Do you ever have the experience that you go to church, listen to a message, and then you go home and you kind of forget, basically, there's like a mind wash that occurs when you walk out the door? Well, that's, for me, that happens to me from time to time. Never when Jeff preaches, or when Randy preaches. But that's what's cool about the journal. I mean, if you can capture things in your notes, you take them home, you can pray about them, you can remember what was stirred up in your heart while we were talking. And that gives you a way to show that you're moving forward. So what about worship? What role does worship play in our lives and bringing us together? We had some great worship this morning. That was really cool. And it's weird, as I was planning this message, I was not sure whether to have the worship at the beginning or the end or in the middle. But I love having it at the beginning because it just helps prepare me and wash me to receive what God might have for me. So what is worship? There's a worldview and a God's view that we wanted to touch on. The world's definition of worship is, this is out of the dictionary, reverent love and devotion accorded a deity, an idol, or a sacred object. Ceremonies, prayers, or other religious forms by which this love is expressed. Ardent devotion, adoration. Sounds pretty dry and boring to me. I mean, it sounds like something that you might just do out of compulsion. Well, I don't know. The world view. But what about God's view? In John it says that yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Worshipers must worship in Spirit and truth. So what does that mean? What does it mean to worship in the Spirit? I mean, I'm assuming, using a little logic, that it's possible to worship without being in the Spirit, and it's possible to worship in the Spirit. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had the distinction put up on the screen, right? Or in the Bible. So, what are your thoughts? And when we worshiped this morning, were we worshiping in the Spirit? Okay. So the worship's coming from the inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So maybe another way to say it is that worshiping in the Spirit and truth would be worshiping with our hearts and our brains, okay? Because I think of truth as being something that I could intellectually ascend to. And my spirit is something that kind of pours out from my heart. Anybody else? That's awesome. Yeah, I know we've got some powerful worshipers in this group this morning, so I'd really be interested to hear what you might have to say about this subject, because I'm still learning. So you truly believe in God, and you're worshiping with an element of faith as well, right? That God is real. He's receiving your worship. That's good. Awesome. Thank you. So God is seeking true worshipers. I mean, he wants true worshipers. And I think that when we do truly worship, then that we are richly rewarded with that connection to God as well. So why do we worship together? I mean, why do we have worship services on Sunday morning? Why not just go off in the closet at home and kind of worship by yourself after the shower and kind of before breakfast, you know, in your daily routine? Now, I think there's power for us that we can receive when we do worship together. And what is that supposed to look like? You know, I did a kind of a word search in the Bible trying to get more insight on just how we were supposed to worship. Because as one of the worship guys, I'm pretty interested in just knowing how we're supposed to worship. Is there a way that we're supposed to worship? And we usually have music, right? When we worship, we have a band and people singing and all that. But in the Bible, you look at the number of times that the word worship appears. There's 254 instances that popped up. And then you look at the number of times music appear, and there's like 128 of those. So there's worship going on without music, I think. I think you can worship with music, worship without music. Ephesians talks about a way that we might worship together as a community. And I'm sure most of you have read this because it's kind of an interesting verse. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the heart. From the Spirit, excuse me. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if I read this correctly, we're comparing worship to getting drunk, okay? I'm sure nobody here has ever gotten drunk, but you've probably seen people who've gotten drunk, and you see how they act, okay? So rather than being drunk on alcohol, get drunk on the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And when that happens, you're going to find that you'll be speaking to one another. This isn't like just kind of worshiping like this, but you're speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So it's like Meredith turning to Elizabeth and spontaneously singing a love song to God, to her, in the middle of the worship service. That's kind of the way I read this. I mean, it's okay to do that as part of our worship. And we're making music from our heart to God. So what would it be like if our worship service, you know, rather than having songs that we all follow, if we just said, okay, we're going to start making music to each other and God now. You know, it might seem a little chaotic, but that's just kind of the picture I get when I read this. And it seems like a lot of fun, too. I mean, it's something that I would like to do. So how do we grow in worship? How am I doing on time, by the way? When are we supposed to be done? Okay. Because I wanted to talk about growing worship in one point in particular, unforgiveness. So I think that to grow our worship, we have to feed and water our tree of life to the full. In other words, push into the things that Jeff's been talking about. The restoration that God has for us, the filling of His Spirit, deploying what He gives us for His work, and just being in true community, rooted in true community. When all those things are happening, worship just becomes more full for us, I think. You have to practice it. I don't know about you, but I'm basically a shy person. And if I'm sitting over there, down here, okay, I'll just kind of demonstrate. And Greg's got his worship band up there. If you guys were all just kind of doing that, and I felt like raising my hands, I'd be going, I'm afraid. And I probably wouldn't, because I'm shy. And I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. So we kind of have to practice worshiping. It's like, oh, that doesn't hurt. I can do that in front of people. And the other thing, kind of, I guess the last point I wanted to discuss is forgiveness. There's been, I don't know, I've been just talking with people over the past few weeks. I've just found that there have been a lot, many situations where people have been harboring unforgiveness. These are Christian people. And I believe that unforgiveness, when you're holding a grudge against somebody, you're bitter, maybe you want revenge, I think it just shuts down a lot of what God has for us. I mean, it definitely, for me, what I've experienced is that it kills my joy. I tend to walk around with this like little frown on my face when I'm thinking about what so-and-so did to me. You know, that guy that cut me off this morning, I don't know, God bless it, you know. And I believe that it puts our hearts in kind of a prison. And that prison prevents us from fully experiencing the washing and the restoration in the Spirit and the fruits that come from worship. Have any of you ever experienced that? I mean, has anybody here ever held a grudge? Maybe I should say, has anybody not held a grudge? But as I started pushing into this subject, I discovered that I had grudges in my heart that I made or that I took on decades ago. Okay? And as I was working on this message, I remember this incident that occurred when I was in high school, where the neighborhood kind of pack of kids, you know, the pack that kind of roams the neighborhood, they played a trick on me, and I hadn't forgiven them. It's been like, 45 years, or whatever. But they played this little trick where they distracted me, they loosened the nuts that held the front wheels on my bike, and then they asked me to pop a wheelie. And they're acting real nice and chummy, and so I said, okay, I'll pop a wheelie. So I popped a wheelie, and the front wheel fell off, and I crashed, and when that happened, I was humiliated, I was angry, and I vowed vengeance on them. Someday I'm going to get you guys back, okay? And I locked that inside, and it's been locked inside my whole life. And I think that has kept me from experiencing the fullness that God has for me in my worship. And so I read this parable of the unforgiving servant. There's a lot here. I won't, for sake of time, read the thing word for word. But I would encourage you to write down this reference and go home and read this. It basically talks about a servant who was forgiven a tremendous debt by the master, a debt that the servant could never repay. So what did that servant do? He went off, had dealings with another fellow servant who owed him just a little bit of money, a little tiny bit. And he was very harsh with that other servant. He didn't forgive the other servant. And so when the master found out that the servant that he had forgiven would not forgive others, he threw that servant in jail. Okay? And I think that's an apt illustration of what happens when we don't forgive other people. And kind of the punchline here is that should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So I believe that when we don't forgive people, we put ourselves in jail. And maybe the people don't deserve to be forgiven. Maybe someone has really done a grievous thing against you. But if you're holding a grudge, it's not affecting them at all, but it's keeping you from life. And so I wanted to give you... Boy, we're just about out of time here. I just ask you to consider where there might be a prison in your heart that you're holding the key to because you're not forgiving somebody. And if you're willing to give that up, it's hard and it doesn't feel good, especially if you're not ready to forgive somebody. But if we could, I'd like to just lead us in a prayer right now, a prayer of forgiveness. For any of you who might be there and want to open some of the prison doors that you've put in your heart. So God, I just thank you that you do give us the ability to forgive because you forgave us something that we could never repay. Thank you for sending Jesus and for unlocking the keys to life for us, life on this earth and life eternally through Christ. And thank you, God, that we could never repay that because that keeps us humble and keeps us ready to forgive others who might have something against us as well. So, God, I just want to give you that gang of boys that pulled the front wheel off my bike, and I deliberately forgive. I choose to forgive them, even though I don't feel like it. If any of you have anything you'd like to just kind of speak out in prayer, feel free to do it right now. God, give us the courage to open those cages and forgive those that have wronged us, so that we can experience all that you have for us, God, in community and in worship. Amen. Well, I think we've run out of time, so I'm going to have to stop talking. Thank you for bearing with me and for listening. And I would encourage you this week, if you wrote anything down in your journals, just pray about that stuff. And push into worship, push into community. Any announcements? Okay. I see sign language.